Just like to read from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 13, and verse 23. Acts 13, verse 23. Of this man's seed, according to promise, has God brought to Israel a Saviour, Jesus. And then verse 32. And we declare unto you the glad tidings of the promise made to the fathers, that God has fulfilled this to us, their children, having raised up Jesus, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. And then in the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 24, verse 49. Luke 24, verse 49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but do ye remain in the city till ye be clothed with power from on high. And then in the second epistle of Peter, chapter 3, and verse 3, 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come at the close of the day mockers with mocking, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For from the time the fathers fell asleep, all things remain thus from the beginning of the creation. And then verse 9. The Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The things which came before us on Saturday in the fellowship meeting was preciousness of the promises. Earlier in the same epistle in Peter, it speaks of the greatest and precious promises. I think the question was asked as to what the greatest promises are. I'm not sure whether a definitive answer was given to that. I certainly couldn't give one. But I read these scriptures because they refer to promises, I think, which are particularly for ourselves. There are many promises that we read of in Scripture. Mm. In fact, it says in 2 Corinthians that whatever promises of God there are, in him is the yea, and in him the amen, for glory to God by us. But what I had in mind in these scriptures was the promise of Christ, the promise of the coming of Christ, the promise of the Spirit, and the promise, I suppose, of the second coming of Christ, when he will come in glory. But I think it's encouraging, and I think it gives us stability to know that all things are according to God's promise. It's something which he has planned, something which he's had in mind. And my impression is that promises are for our sakes. They're so that we know God's love towards us, and everything that we have is through Christ. And I think it's encouraging to see that there are many references of his being promised. You think of the promise which was made to Abraham, that in his seed all the families of the earth should be blessed, and we have come into that. We're in the good of it at this present time, and of course we look on to a day to come when the earth will be filled with the glory of God. Will be filled with the knowledge of God, as well as the water covers the seas. What a wonderful day we look on to. But what a moment it was when the Lord Jesus came into this world, wasn't it? That God has brought to Israel a Saviour, Jesus. Well, the word here from Paul, I suppose, was more specifically to those who would appreciate the Jewish side of it, but because he's in the synagogue. But we know how the glad tidings have come not only to Jews but to Gentiles. God's desire in the assembly is that Jew and Gentile should be brought into one body. But it says that as well, we declare unto you the glad tidings of the promise made to the fathers. So Paul is bringing it up to date. The Lord, as we know, had come to his own, and they hadn't received him. But I suppose there are many others who would not have been in a position then to receive him literally when he was here on earth. that the promise of God stands, that it wasn't dependent on their actually physically seeing Jesus, but it's something which both Jew and Gentile can enter into as a result of the Lord having come into this world and as having completed there the work which God gave him to do. And that is how the promises can come to ourselves, how they will yet come to Israel when they will receive it, when they say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." That they can be apprehended by us now and enjoyed by us, as we see that Jesus came into the world, as we're told, he came into the world to save sinners. We come in on that line, don't we, as sinners, sinners who have been forgiven, those who have put their faith in him. That we find this assurance that there was the promise that Jesus would be given. And if Jesus was given by promise, then surely we can rely on God to keep his own promises in regard of ourselves. So it says, having raised up Jesus, I assume that means to raise him up as a saviour rather than to raise him up from among the dead. So he established him, you might say, as a saviour. "Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." Because he then goes on to speak about the resurrection. So I'll take it to be the distinctiveness of Jesus as the one whom God raised up, as the one who was the subject of his promise. But then in Luke, there's just this mention here of the promise of my Father. Spoken of elsewhere as the promise of the Holy Spirit. That which the Lord had begged the Father for, hadn't he? That he should send another comforter who should be with them forever. So the Lord says here, "I send the promise of my Father upon you." It's a wonderful individual touch of the Lord there. That the Father sends him, but the Son sends him. It's, you might say, the expression of the love of the Godhead. That all three are directly involved. The Father and the Son sending the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit promise. It's by the Spirit, isn't it, that we enjoy anything at all. That it's his indwelling which you might say makes us Christians, because he who is not the Spirit of God is not of Christ, is not of God. But they were to remain in the city until they were clothed with power from on high. Wonderful thought, isn't it, that we should be clothed. That there is in ourselves naturally so much unsuitability to God. In fact, there's nothing, is there, that we could bring to God, nothing to offer at all. But God speaks not only of our being saved, but of our being clothed with power from on high. So it gives us great dignity in sonship, that we have the Holy Spirit, as so that we are able to be worshippers of God, and to be in the enjoyment of this present time, the time of the Holy Spirit, while he is still striving with men, as we sang in our hymn, "Holy Spirit striving with men." Wonderful thought. Well, in Peter, where I read, there are those saying, "Where is the promise of his coming?" So obviously that is something which they had in mind, that the Lord was coming. But yet these persons are using this in mockery, because they say that nothing has changed. That from the time the fathers fell asleep, all things remained thus from the beginning of the creation. Well, they've forgotten the flood, haven't they? But all things remaining from the beginning of creation. But there they are, I suppose they're trying to rationalise things. Nothing's going to change. It's all going to go on just as it always has. But you know, you think of God as having intervened in bringing Christ into the world. Think of him intervening in bringing the Spirit in to indwell us. And he's going to intervene, isn't he, when Jesus comes back. We know that he's going to come back to take us to be with himself. What a wonderful intervention that will be, won't it, in regard of the coming of the Lord. But we are to be those as well who love his appearing. We know that he will come back into this world as King of Kings. And it is that, I suppose, that Peter is speaking of when he says the Lord does not delay his promise, as some account of delay, but is long-suffering towards you, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Mm-hmm. That's a feature, isn't it, particularly of this present dispensation. God is not willing that any should perish. Mm-hmm. His desire in the gospel is that all should be saved. Indeed, there is power from his side that all should be saved. That he's compassionate, long-suffering towards you. Well, what a God we know, don't we? He is faithful, who has promised. And he's going to bring everything through according to his promise. He's going to sustain us according to his promise by the Spirit. That may be in the good of us, for the Lord's name's sake.
Amen.